Welcome to this Market Commentator podcast. My name is Ryk van die Kerk and my guest today is Feroz Baza. He is the Joint Boutique Head of Global Emerging Markets at Old Mutual and one of the fund managers of the Old Mutual Global Emerging Market Fund. Feroz, welcome to the show. The Rand currently is probably the most volatile ever if we exclude market crashes. How do you invest in such a volatile environment?
Hi, Ryk. Thank you. If we look at the Rand, it's been driven by a number of things. You know, more recently, the potential downgrade that we've avoided in South Africa. Also, volatility in emerging market countries. So it hasn't just been the Rand. It's been the Brazilian real, the Russian ruble, the Turkish lira, and also the fact that the dollar's been very strong. So it creates opportunities and it creates some threats in the fund. Obviously, we convert South African rands to dollars and then invest in all of these emerging market currencies. So what we tend to do is we look at shares from a bottom-up perspective and try not to forecast the rand too much because it creates havoc in our fund. Having said that, obviously our pricing is in rands, but we're converting dollars. So the rand weakness does give the investor additional benefit on the investment that they've made.
In your latest fact sheet, you say that global emerging markets is trading at a 30% discount to the markets in developed markets on both the price earnings and the price to book ratio. How did you come to this conclusion?
Yes, I think what we do is we look at the aggregate of emerging markets. So Citibank is one of the global banks, does the analysis of aggregating those emerging markets and developed markets. And we look at them of a long-term basis to try and get a view of where the one trades relative to the other. And we can see that emerging markets trading at a discount of 25% on both the price-to-book and the earnings basis. But I think what's more important is that if you look at the earnings base of developed markets versus emerging markets, it's vastly different. You know, if you look at U.S. markets, you look at most developed market funds, they've done very well, largely on the back of good earnings growth, strong growth in their businesses, whereas emerging market funds have actually come under significant pressure. So their earnings have rebased significantly. So when you look at the opportunity, it's even more pronounced when you look at the relative earnings base because emerging markets' earnings have come under significant pressure and are trading below their long-term normal averages, whereas developed markets are trading above their long-term averages. So I think it creates an opportunity for investor potentially taking a 3 to 5 year view to invest in emerging markets over developed markets.
Which emerging markets do you like? Your fact sheet says, you know, obviously prefer South Africa. 16% of the portfolio is invested there. But then the other big ones are China, Brazil, and India, and South Korea even. Why those markets?
Yes, I think if we look at South Africa more recently, we've taken some profits out of South Africa. And a number of the shares in the South African markets are geared towards global markets. So if you look at pure South Africa, we're actually underweight South Africa. We're concerned about South Africa in terms of growth. Also, the pure industrial companies are seeing huge pressure on their earnings. We're not creating jobs. A particular sector that we're concerned about in South Africa is the retailers, particularly the clothing retailers. Now, they've been very resilient for a long time, and I think those earnings are going to come under significant pressure. Yes, there are a couple of markets where we extremely bullish on. One more recently has been Brazil. Now, it sounds a bit counterintuitive because Brazil has had negative GDP growth of 3.5% over the last 2 years. And in that market, inflation spiral out of control. They've also had issues with the president and the cabinet and the like. But that's when opportunities are created, right? That's when you actually get the opportunities to invest in world-class companies at very, very low valuations. And that's been our big markets, Brazil, Russia, also investing in China and India. And funny enough, Brazil with the worst GDP growth has been one of the best performing markets year to date. So, you know, those are the markets we're looking at. I think also, Feroz,
In South Africa, we've got a few big companies driving the whole market. Big companies with a lot of exposure to offshore markets. Of these emerging markets you're referring to, do they have the same structure where you have these big international companies performing well, but locally based companies or locally focused companies not doing as well?
Now, you see, I mean, that's a very good question, because in South Africa, the market's skewed. You know, the likes of SAB, BTI, Richemont, and now soon to be InBev and Naspers. These companies drive about 60 to 70% of the valuation, and most of the fund managers are heavily exposed to those counters. Whereas in emerging markets, it's localized companies. So, for example, Brazil, we have education companies. Those companies are Brazilian-only companies. We have retailers that focus on Brazil. I mean, if you look at the Chinese companies, a number of them do export their product, but they also sell locally. So it's not the same dynamic that you have in South Africa. South Africa is a very unique market in that sense. If we're buying Chinese or Korean or those kind of companies, those are companies that, you know, are focused on the local market or are potentially global giants in terms of manufacturing. So, for example, in Korea, if you buy Samsung, I mean, everybody knows Samsung. They do the smartphones. They do all of these other products, electronic-type products that send to the world. So those are the differences. You find these global giants in these countries that send product out to the rest of the world. Yes, but South Africa is unique in that sense. But if you do strip out those dual-listed companies in South Africa, South Africa, SA Industrial Shares, potentially looks expensive.
Your biggest shareholding is in the Taiwan Semiconductor Company. Tell us about this company.
Yes, so Taiwan Semiconductor is one of the biggest foundries globally. So what they do is they make these chips for the likes of Apple and these big companies. So it's one of those companies with a huge competitive advantage, solid manufacturing know-how. Also, they spend significantly in terms of capital, so they create that sustainable business moat around them. So that's the biggest foundry globally. In terms of technology, Taiwan, Korea, and these countries are at the forefront of technology, and they are the leaders in terms of these products. So very, very good company, strong management team, you know, a sustainable competitive moat, delivers fantastic return on invested capital and a strong balance sheet. Those are the type of companies we look for in our portfolio.
Around 15% of your portfolio is invested in China. Are you not a bit concerned about the Chinese market, that it may be a bit high?
Yes, I think that's a very good question as well. If you look at China, you know, we travel to emerging markets. So our analysts, portfolio managers all travel to emerging markets. They visit the companies. I've just been there 2 weeks ago. And there's lots of talk about a bubble in China. People are scared around the debt crisis in terms of the banks, fixed investment, overspending in fixed investment, and slowing growth. So when we go to these countries, we look for opportunities from the bottom up, and we find a number of those opportunities. So you won't find our fund invested in any of the banks or in these construction or cement companies. China has some phenomenal companies that are at the cusp of growth or have been growing phenomenally. So like the pharma companies, if you look at penetration rates in pharma in China relative to the rest of the world, very low, and they have world-class companies. So we invested in a company called Sinobiopharm, similar to what we look at, like the AstraZenecas and these of the global companies. So we get those opportunities in there. Also, some of the consumer companies at, you know, growing at 20% plus, we invest in those consumer companies. And yes, we actually are finding some very good opportunities in China, because people are obviously concerned about Chinese growth and they're selling down these world-class companies. So finding some really good opportunities in China and Taiwan and Korea as well.
This is an interesting fund, the one you manage, the Global Emerging Market Fund. You know, in South Africa, there are 350 companies on the JSE, probably 100, you know, that are really offering investment opportunities. But if you go to the global market, especially the emerging market, There are thousands of these companies. How do you do your research, and why can you do it better than, say, an international fund manager in those specific markets?
Yes, like if you look at it, I think, you know what, the one thing you mentioned there, in South Africa, you've got 200 shares, right? Of those, for the big funds who manage in excess of 5 billion, there's only about 150 investable shares. So universe is quite small. Now, in South Africa, if you look at the opportunities, we know resources has run significantly. At the last time, we did mention that the sector that offers value but with higher risk is the resource space. Still some opportunity in that space. Industrials, relative to the earnings history, looks expensive. And financials, particularly banks, look cheap. So that's the South African market in a nutshell. And obviously, we can, South African investors can call up the company, visit them, and you know, you have easy access to those companies. In the global emerging markets arena, for example, there are in excess of 4,000 shares. Of that, there's roughly 1,000 investable shares. So, you know, more than five times the opportunities in South Africa. So you really need to know, you need to have a firm process in place, a philosophy that focuses on a certain number of shares, and you need the right caliber of individuals in the team. So in terms of growing up in the emerging market, I mean, we've been through all the shenanigans that you can think of. And in South Africa, we're lucky in that, you know, we have very good corporate governance, and that sets us in good stride. You know, think about the guy sitting in South Africa who's had to manage funds through the Lonmin or the Marikana crisis, or all these big strikes in South Africa that impacts company earnings, or volatile exchange rate, versus a guy sitting in New York or London who hasn't really seen firsthand or experienced these things. So I think that's a competitive advantage in terms of growing up in the emerging market. And then also we have a solid framework in terms of investment. So if you look at our process, you know, we have a screening process that brings these shares down to a number of shares that we look at in terms of quality, valuation, and corporate governance, but everybody has those criteria. I think we have best-in-class corporate governance framework. You know, All Mutuals is leading in corporate governance in South Africa. So we have a very good, robust corporate governance framework.
But how do you invest in China? Do you use a Chinese partner, a research partner, or an asset management partner? Or do you do it directly from South Africa?
Yes, we invest directly. Like I said, you know, we get the shares that we would like to invest in based on our philosophy. We visit those companies. And then we do our own internal proprietary research on those companies. So every company we invest in is based on bottom-up work that we've done in South Africa, one of the analysts on those particular companies. So it's exactly doing bottom-up work, building a valuation model on a particular company, and then presenting to the team and then deciding whether we're going to invest in that company or not.
The fund is relatively new. It was launched late in 2011. It has about 1.4 billion under management, and it has performed well.
Yes, I think, you know, what we've done well is that, like we said, you know, we operate in a global arena. We try not to pay too much attention to, for example, like in Brazil, that GDP is going backwards 3.5%. We buy those world-class companies that in those environments are cutting their costs, are maintaining their earnings, have strong balance sheets. We're buying world-class companies. It's about bottom-up stock picking. And you find opportunities globally that you can invest in. And I think it's been very good stock picking that's come through, very good risk analysis in the fund. And, you know, these have come through significantly in our portfolio. So that ability to pick stocks from bottom up, like I'm saying now, you know, China's underperforming significantly. The stock market is coming off significantly. But this is a time when you find opportunities to invest in world-class companies that's trading below their valuations. And this is the nice thing about emerging markets versus South Africa in that you have a wide pool of investment opportunities versus a small pool in South Africa, highly concentrated. It's either you're going to take a significant position in resources and banks now relative to industrials, or you're going to have a big, massive position in the rand hedges. Whereas in in emerging markets, I'm finding opportunities all around the world. In China, for example, we invested in one of the biggest education companies with roughly 23 million students. I mean, that's almost half the population of South Africa. It's called New Oriental Education. South Africa, you can't even get that opportunity. I mean, you have one company, Curo, and I'm not sure where the earnings is, or, you know, I don't even know what the price earnings multiple is. So it's about good bottom-up stock picking that actually gives you that alpha opportunities.
Your investment mandate also allows you to use some derivatives to manage the risk. Are you using such derivatives?
Look, I think from time to time you have opportunities to use derivatives to manage the risk. But currently we're not using any of those. What we also do have in our mandate is that we are allowed to invest in developed world counters, but that have more than 50% of their profits in emerging markets. So those are effectively developed world stocks that have more than 50% of their profits coming from emerging markets, like the Unilevers, the global Unilevers and the like, that gives us those opportunities. I think, you know, what we tend to do is we tend to build up cash when we don't have opportunities, particularly US dollar cash. It gives us opportunities in some of the markets, and it also provides us with a cushion when things are expensive relative to where we see it.
As we started the discussion, we spoke about volatility. What do you think should investors expect for the short and medium term?
I think that's a good question again. You know, it's a low growth environment. It's very uncertain. You know, people talk about one day US rates going up, the next day it's not going up, China being strong, and then the next day China's not strong. The problem with this is that investors are forced to take more risk to get growth. So you need to calculate the risk you're taking relative to the return expectation. I think we're in for a volatile year, particularly with so many uncertainties. But I have no doubt that, you know, if you take a 3 to 5 year view on emerging markets, you know, some of these emerging markets would have worked through their structural issues. You know, the growth potential in these markets will be higher than the growth potential in developed markets, and most certainly South Africa, if we don't sort out the issues in South Africa. And that creates opportunities. Also, I think one last point that I'd like to make is that if you look at the consumption globally, if you look at consumption, it normally comes from the middle class. And you look at where the strong middle class is emerging, it's in the big emerging markets like Asia Pacific and all of these markets. And that's where the population is, and that's where the drive is for the future growth. So I think if one takes a 3 to 5 year view, emerging markets should give you fantastic returns.
Thank you, Feroz. That was Feroz Baza. He's the joint boutique head of global markets at Old Mutual and one of the fund managers of the Old Mutual Global Emerging Market Fund.